Military planners say the parade will focus on the contributions of veterans, starting with the Revolutionary War, and highlight the evolution of women veterans from World War II to the present. Tim McGuire, Washington.
The Pathway Home program at the country's largest veterans home in Yountville, California, has ID'd victims of yesterday's shooting. Psychologists 42-year-old Jennifer Golick, 29-year-old Jennifer Gonzalez, and program director 48-year-old Christine Lober, all three helped veterans deal with PTSD. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This is a repeat broadcast of the Bean Found Show.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
You know, the day destroys the night. Night divides the day.
All right, welcome to the Being Found Show. I am your host today, Chauncey Hallworth, filling in for Cloudwise Joe McKenna. Kind of sounds like a famous baseball player, Shoeless Joe McKenna. So I don't necessarily have the gift of gab that Joe has, but still I'm going to be filling in for him. So I'm a little nervous about it, you know, because normally Joe, he has this way of talking that's like this roundabout thing where he sort of like talks about all the details and then in the end tells you what it is. It's like that, and now for the rest of the story. And I don't really have that delivery, but so what are we, 1 day, 2 days away from New Year's?
2 days.
2 days away from New Year's Day. 1 day away from New Year's Eve. So our topic is going to be New Year's resolutions. Do you have any New Year's resolutions, Jared?
I probably need to pick up after myself better.
You need to.
After we just had that conversation before the show started.
Yeah, yeah. Pick up after, you know, I should probably add that to my list as well. I think I take too much advantage of my wife, and she does a lot of it for me. I was joking earlier that every year I resolve to lose weight, yet every year I feel like I put weight on, so this year I'm going to resolve to gain weight. So I'm going to just pack on some serious poundage this year. It's going to be obscene, and hopefully that'll work out.
I'm sure you'll be able to follow through with that one.
Yeah, yeah. I like to pick something that's, yeah, it's like my buddy John has no tattoos, and he's resolved to not get any tattoos this year. I'm just all, that's, I think you're missing the point here. But so we're going to be dealing with New Year's resolutions, but of course not for individuals, seeing how the Being Found show is all about small, medium-sized business getting out there. So we're going to do resolutions for business. Being a business owner myself, you know, I think I'm going to try to adhere to all of my resolutions here that I suggest. I have a top 10 countdown of possible resolutions that you can pick. I'm not saying that you should pick all 10, especially if you're just getting started with some sort of online marketing or getting started with business or anything like that. You know, just pick one even. You know, something that you will follow through with. You know, it's hard to... I feel like this society has created this sort of like instant gratification thing. You know, my weight is a prime example. You put in like a whole week of effort, and then you look at the scale, and you're just all, I gained a pound. And you know, what you don't really realize is that pound that you gained was actually muscle. You traded out that fat for muscle. The muscle grew a little quicker, so of course your weight goes up a little bit first. But, you know, you want the instant gratification. You're all, I've been working out for a week. Where's my six-pack abs? Why aren't they there yet? So you really got to stick to it. You got to be like a ninja. Or samurai. I really think of ninjas and samurais as being dedicated people. Straightforward. Maybe a Jedi. You gotta be like a Jedi. Maybe that's a little something that people can connect with a little better than ninja / samurais. But as far as business is concerned, we're going to do top 10. Top 10 things that your business should resolve to do in the next year. So up first, we got social media. This is one that I need to do. This is one that probably a lot of you rolled your eyes, or a lot of you think that you're already doing because you have a profile, or because you post up a job every once in a while. So when I say social media, I mean using it effectively and really trying to enjoy yourself while doing it. And social media can really, if you're doing it effectively, it's really kind of amazing how much you can get done with just 5 minutes a day. 5 minutes and some kind of plan, a basic plan that took you 5 minutes to come up with, you'll notice a drastic difference. So in my resolution for social media, here's what I've come up with. Post twice a week to Facebook. Check it 5 times a week, but just post twice a week. You know, I went to this social media marketing conference, and they equated the difference between Facebook and Twitter to me as Facebook is a conversation in a coffee shop and Twitter is a conversation in a bar. So Twitter, you're just hucking your stuff out there, you're yelling your stuff, you're hoping that somebody hears you. But Facebook, you got to be a little bit more polite. So post twice a week. You know, make one of those posts about your business. Make another one of those posts maybe appreciating your employees or something nice, something a little less self-serving. But still log in 5 times a week. And, you know, like other people's stuff and see if somebody contacted you and be connected with that. Then Pinterest. We're still in social media. Create a Pinterest gallery. You don't need to involve yourself, but Joe and I have been noticing here lately that the amount of traffic that comes to a lot of our sites, even sites you would never even expect, is coming from Pinterest. And we're just all like amazed. Because, you know, people like to browse, and they're not Pinterest users necessarily. They've searched for something, ended up at a Pinterest gallery, and then followed on through to the site. So if you just create yourself a gallery at Pinterest, regardless of what you do, you make pizzas, pizza gallery. Who doesn't like that? You do some sort of service work, make a gallery of you doing the service work, or make a gallery of the great results, or so on and so forth. But just resolve to make one gallery in Pinterest that links back. You know, the other advantage of this is your webmaster or your SEO company is probably always harping on you, or should be, to get them images so that they can share those images, so that they can put those up on the site, you know, and you can say, hey, go to the Pinterest gallery. That's where all our images are. So it's a great place to do it. The final one Joe and I have been talking about here for a couple weeks is involve yourself with your Google My Business. Google My Business has blown up to being its own website. We're now seeing massive traffic and conversion coming through Google My Business without even hitting the website. So if you're not involved in this, you definitely should be. Google now provides weekly posts. So let's say you search your business name, you see that thing on the right that shows a picture and directions and all that stuff. If you're involved with your Google My Business, you can put up a post saying like, hey, Merry Christmas, blah, blah, blah. And that'll show up under your results on the side of the search. It allows you to sort of interact with the searcher when you're showing up. So number 10 in our countdown list of New Year's resolutions for your business, social media. Post twice a week to Facebook, create a Pinterest gallery, and get yourself involved with your Google My Business. All right, you're listening to The Being Found Show. Come on back. We got 9 more.
My time was running wild in the dead-end streets, and every time I thought I got it made, it seemed the taste was not so sweet.
So I turn myself to face me. But I've never caught a glimpse how the others must see the faker. I'm much too fast to take that test.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
Don't wanna be a richer man.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Joe's Web Geeks are the geeks your business has been looking for. Now businesses in Shasta County have a resource to make online advertising easy. With our Jumpstart service, you can get a website with pages built to be found in search, a Facebook page, listings in over 25 directories, and a lot more for $8.99. Let Joe's Web Geeks help you so that you can get back to doing what you do best. Visit joeswebgeeks.com or call 515-9851.
A true tribute band comprised of the best musicians and performers specializing in a complete Beatles concert production. Join us Friday, March 30th at 7:30 p.m. as Wind River Resort and Casino welcomes Paperback Writer, The Beatles Experience, live at the Event Center. Hear the hits from The Ed Sullivan Show through the colorful Sgt. Pepper's years and on the rooftops of Let It Be, performed with spot-on vocals, looks, and sounds. Paperback Writer is guaranteed to bring audiences the most precise experience of the Beatles. Remarkably authentic, amazing vocals, a must-see show. Purchase your tickets now at the River Club or WinRiver.com. Tickets for this are just $12.50 each or a table of 10 for $100. Do not miss your chance to see Paperback Writer, The Beatles Experience. In concert at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center Friday, March 30th. A good time will be had by all. Must be 21 to attend. Download the Wind River app on Google Play or the Apple Store. Concerts are better at the River.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Redding Yellow Cab. At Redding Yellow Cab, they have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night on the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Redding Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Redding Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation and clean, comfortable cabs. Give them a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
All right, welcome back to the Being Found Show. I'm your host, Chauncey Hallworth, filling in for Shoeless Joe McKenna, who is out there hanging with his family, treating him right. Probably ditched him for a motorcycle ride, I'm guessing, Joe, if you've heard hearing this. All right, we're counting down New Year's resolutions for small businesses. Like I said, don't do all 10. Pick one. Figure it out. Get in there. Get yourself involved. So number 10 was social media. Get yourself involved. We had a few steps for you there. Number 9 is analytics. Now, you've heard about this a lot on the show, and analytics is scary. And, you know, analytics was really scary for me, too, because I log in and I'm just all, whoa, there is, like, everything here. There is, like, so much here. How am I ever going to figure this out? So the New Year's resolution is not necessarily to become an analytics master. The New Year's resolution is to
learn one or two things about analytics that will help you better understand how well your business is doing. So the first part of number 9 on our New Year's resolution countdown, make sure you have it. Make sure that you have analytics. You would be shocked how many people, you might not be shocked, maybe you don't know what this is. Analytics is basically a tracking code that you put in there. You can log into Google and you can see exactly how many visitors you had, if they're men or women, if they're from Venus, if they're from Mars, whatever. So make sure that you have it. Talk to your marketing company and say, do I have analytics, and give me a login. And if they say, no, you don't have analytics, get a different marketing company, for one, because you should have it. Unless you just got started, maybe they haven't gotten in there yet. But so make sure you have it. So the few things that you need to do in order to really kind of understand analytics is you need to learn to pick a time frame. So when you are looking at how many visitors you've had, you can pick a time frame. How many have I had in the last week? How many in the last year? You know, so learn to pick a time frame. And then there are really only about 3 metrics. Let's pick 3 metrics that you'll look at to better understand. They're new sessions, bounce rate, and time on site. So basically, if you learn to filter it, you'll filter it for a month, you look right at it, they'll be on that very first page. New sessions is how many new people came to your site. I mean, that's kind of a no-brainer. We like to know that. Bounce rate is how many people came to your site and said, I don't like this site, I'm getting out of here. Those are people who came to your site and hit the back button. That's important to know because maybe they hated your site because it's ugly, or maybe your site came up for the wrong thing. You know, an example we use a lot of the time around here is carpet cleaner. Maybe they were looking for a carpet cleaning machine and they landed on your carpet cleaner service, or vice versa. So bounce rate is something to figure out. And then time on site. We need to see if they were on your site long enough to convert. So for some sites where we want them to pick up the phone and call, you know, their time on site might be 30, 45 seconds, which seems terrible. But as long as they got there and they made that call, they made that conversion, that's good. But for other sites where it's maybe a little more educational, you know, we want that up in the 4 or 5 minute range, you know. So those three things, all you got to do, make sure you have analytics on your website. Learn how to filter a time frame, say when you want to know, the last week, the last month, the last year. And then just look straight at your screen and see new sessions, bounce rate, and time on site. And that is your analytics resolution for 2018. Number 8. This is kind of a no-brainer. Retain your customers. Don't get so focused on new business. Treat your old business right. You know, I fall victim to this where I get somebody new and you want to treat them right so that they convert, so that they start paying you on the reg. But those old customers, you know, people are constantly out to get them to be their new customers. You have to maintain that relationship. And you can maintain that relationship, you know, I mean, the most obvious way is to be polite. You know, a lot of people use something called a CRM. I'm not saying that you need to go get a CRM, but a CRM stands for Customer Relationship Management. And basically that allows people to, when they contact somebody, one of their clients, it brings up information about them and any notes about them so that you can know their name and you can communicate with them and maybe have notes about what you talked about last time. You know, you can easily do this in your Google Drive or with a notepad, you know, but know your customers. So be polite, know your customers. If you can, give them a reward, you know, once a year. Track that and say, hey, you know, once a year we give our good customers this and we'd like to give it to you. You know, if they call you out, say, hey, we're going to give you 10% off just because we appreciate you. And what this really does is this provides a level of stability.
You know, it helps you to understand each month I have a specific amount of money coming in. If you maintain your quality customers, you will notice stability in the amount of money coming in. And then treat your new customers as a different pile of money. So you'll see stability in your regular customers, and then you can work on growing your new customers, and hopefully some of those come over to regular customers. All right. What number was that? 10, 9, 8, 7. Are we at 7, Jared? Is that what you're telling me? All right. This is one that I really need. Take a break, but not too many. This kind of goes back to being a Jedi, being a ninja samurai Jedi. You know, I find myself at certain points in my life taking too many breaks. And then at other points in my life, I find myself taking no breaks at all, and I'm hunched over, and I'm having back problems. It's like you need to schedule breaks. You need to take those breaks whether you want to or not. So look at it this way. You're the boss, maybe. Well, if you're listening to this and you're getting the analytics, you're the boss. So treat yourself when you're working like you are an employee of yourself. When it's break time, it's time to take a break. It's not if you want to. It's not if things need to happen. You take a break at break time. We'll keep them short, 10 minutes, so on and so forth. And take that break. If you have a hard time taking that break because you want to just keep going. If you're like me, I've started doing a little bit of exercise in my breaks. Because personally, I sit at a desk all day long. And it is starting to take a toll on my body. You know, I like to maintain my web developer physique, you know. I know it's a hot commodity, you know. I'm out at the bar with my friends and girls are just all, ooh, look at that guy. He must be a web developer because he's like way overweight, you know. So I've started exercising in my breaks. But, you know, if you're a ditch digger, you probably don't want to exercise in your breaks. But you do want to make sure that you do what your body needs in order to continue going. Because bottom line is, our bodies were not built for this. Whether you're coming from the evolution side or the creation side, we're looking at thousands of years of walking and farming. So whatever you're doing, your body was probably not built for doing it. So take those breaks and let your body recover. And then the last part of take a break, but not too many, is give yourself a cutoff time. This will help you with your breaks and your scheduling. You know, make it realistic. My cutoff time personally is like 9 o'clock at night because I have so much to do. But there is a cutoff time. There is a point where I'm just not going to work anymore. I'm going to relax. I'm going to watch something. I'm going to chit chat with my wife and I'm going to go to bed without my work spilling over into my bedtime. So that's number 7, New Year's resolution for the small and medium sized business right here on Being Found is take a break. But not too many. Schedule those breaks. Take them whether you want to or not. Maybe exercise. And give yourself a cutoff time. All right, you're listening to The Being Found Show. We got 6 more when you come on back.
The battle outside raging. We'll soon shake your windows and rattle your walls, for the times, they are changing. Our mothers and fathers throughout the land, and don't criticize what you can't understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. Your old road is rapidly aging. Please get out of the new one if you can't lend your hand, for the times, they are a-changing. The line, it is drawn, and the curse, it is cast. The slowest one now will later be fast, and the present now.
Signs, signs, signs. That's right, Wonderland Signs has your signs. Big signs, we do them. Vehicle wraps, we do them. If it's a sign, we do them. Vinyl, paint, 3D murals, big, little, inside, outside, every sign you could want.
Sorry, Bob. Could we sign a monster truck read? Could you do that again?
When you need sign work, Wonderland Signs is the one. Featuring the highest quality materials, longest warranties in the area, all at competitive prices. Wonderland Signs quality can't and won't be beat. From vinyl architectural to banners to magnetics, from 3D to vehicle wraps to sandblasted to murals. If it's a visual message you want to send, we can deliver. Plus, being that we are fully licensed, bonded, and insured contractors, we can install them when other sign shops can't. We even offer financing on many sign types. Check us out online at WonderlandSigns.com or come by the shop on South Market and meet the Wonderland Signs staff.
Mention this ad and get 50% off any pair of magnetic signs.
Wonderland Signs, now celebrating 31 years in business in the North State with amazing attention to detail and quality service. Wonderland Signs.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. I have a word for men, women, boys, and girls, and it's very simple. God created you just the way you are, a male or a female. Feeling like you are the opposite sex or having an irreversible surgery will not change that fact. Don't allow the anti-God sexual revolution to destroy the awesome person God created you to be. And parents, don't let this insanity destroy you and your children. Protect them by your family having an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at TrueLifeReading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit PaloCedroDentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we offer up the latest tech news you could use. Hi, it's Bob Belongi. It's even easier to listen to the show now that we're on iTunes. You'll find our archives and articles at BoomerTechRadio.com, and the show is streamed live at KCNR1460.com. We review the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, and make sure you are up to date on the latest tech trends. Boomer Tech Radio, Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. on KCNR 1460, and now available as a podcast on iTunes.
The Glenn Miller Orchestra is coming to Reading's historic Cascade Theater March 16th. After more than 50 years, the famous Glenn Miller Orchestra is still one of the most sought-after big bands in the world today. The 18-piece ensemble will serenade the audience with all their classic hits. It's a can't-miss show. Friday, March 16th at the Cascade Theater. Tickets at 530-243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
Back in '52, lying awake and tuning in on you. If I was young, it's
All right, welcome back to the Being Found Show. I know what you're thinking. You're sitting there, you're thinking, man, I wish there was an hour-long show of some guy sitting in a booth lecturing me about what my business should be doing for 2018. Well, you're in luck. That is exactly what I'm doing. I don't know. What number am I on? Am I on six? I don't know. I'm terrible at math. Yeah, I got six left. Six left to go of our New Year's resolutions for small business and medium-sized business. We already covered take a break, but not too many. Retain your customers. Learn your analytics a little better and do some social media. This next one is one that I think a lot of business owners overlook, and that is treat your employees right and reward your employees. You know, everybody thinks, oh, well, I pay them, so I'm rewarding them. No, you're trading a service for a service. You know, let me throw this out there. Money is really just an expansion of the barter system, right? So back in the old days, back in the land of Ur, you know, you had a tomato, and that guy had a banana, and you said, hey, I want a banana, so I'm going to give him a tomato, and now we're good, right? And then they figured, okay, well, we'll put a coin in between. I will now trade my tomato for a coin, and then use that coin to get a banana. So you get what I'm saying? Money was just a logical growth of the barter system. So you paying your employees money is not necessarily rewarding them. It's trading their time and work for money. So reward them, you know. It'll even if they're not doing awesome, it'll make them do better. You know, it'll be better productivity. You know, happy people are just better. That happiness will also spread to your customers. If your employees are treated right and they feel good and they feel valuable, when they communicate with their customers, that happiness is going to be conveyed. I hate it when I go to a restaurant or a drive-thru or something like that, and the person I'm dealing with looks like they wish they were dead. And they're, like, literally, like, looking in one direction while the other one's sort of, like, haphazardly, like, tossing something into the bag, you know. It really makes me feel like this is a dystopian nightmare. So, it creates better productivity, and it creates a relaxed environment. And I don't mean relaxed like work doesn't get done, but a relaxed environment where people can really focus on their jobs and be proud of what they're doing. And then, of course, there's word of mouth from your employees. You know, when people tell me where they work, strangers, you know, of course I know where my friends are working, but when a stranger tells me where they work, I never remember because I don't care. But if they go off about how great their job is and how much they appreciate their bosses, I make a mental note of that. I remember that, and I want to go there. And that comes up again. I think, hey, I should go there because this guy's nice. I like nice people. I believe in self-government. And you can't self-govern unless you're nice. And then the final part of reward your employees kind of brings us back to social media. Give them a pizza party. I know it sounds ridiculous, but everybody likes a pizza party. And the way this comes back to social media is every time your employees do something great, you give them a pizza party and you ask them, hey, take a bunch of pictures of this. Here's the account. I'd like to post a bunch of pictures on the account. Show them how much fun you guys are having. Pizza, pizza, pizza. And people are going to see this, and people are going to see how much fun you guys are having. People like to like nice things and share nice things. Their families are going to share it. And your employees are going to be happy and full of pizza. All right, so number six was reward your employees. Number seven is one of those things. There's always these things on the internet with changing technologies where people say, oh, that's dead. It's dead and it's not coming back. So number, I don't know, seven? I don't know. Seven. Let's say it's seven. Have you lost track? You're saying six? Who cares? All right. collect emails. You know, on the Being Found show here, we've really talked a lot about how important it is to be found. And what being found really means is to be available for people in the way that they want you available. So email is not dead. I can go into a ton of statistics. I can go into a ton of statistics about how email is effective, how it brings traffic to your website, about how well it converts, and blah, blah, blah. But the bottom line really is that there are a lot of people who use email, and if you want to be found, you need to be out there and available via email. So start collecting emails. You know, put up something on your site that says, stay in touch with us. Even if you don't have a newsletter ready and you don't have a mailing list letter ready, you know, just start collecting those emails. And then, you know, all of a sudden you'll say, wow, I got 100 emails here. You know, we better get a newsletter together. But so email is not dead. That's the first thing on my list. And then once you have that stuff, newsletter to content. So realize that when you send out a newsletter, that content is not indexed. Search engines and anybody who's not on your newsletter don't see that. So basically, you can use the newsletter and you can utilize that to have content on your website. So you're not only creating a newsletter, but you're also creating content for your website. You know, I'm a big fan of Bruce Lee. Maybe not in my physical activities, but in my movie watching activities, I am. And he was all about this idea of conservation of energy. Basically, if somebody goes to strike you, you block them, right? But Bruce Lee said, well, why is your block not also a strike? You know, why would you block them and then strike? Because you're trying to get as much done with the energy that you have that you can. And so conservation of energy, your newsletter can also be content. So collect those emails, get started, just collect them. Once you hit 100, you'll figure out something. Okay, so let's count. We did take a break, but not too many. Retain your customers. Analytics. Social media. Reward your employees was 5. And collect emails was 6. Thank you, Jared. What a good little mathematician you are. Making number 7 something I need to do badly. Respond faster. People want it and they want it now. And if you don't respond, they move on. That's just the way that it is. We were talking earlier about this world and this world of instant gratification, and that is the way that people shop. It's the way they shop for services, goods, everything. So the faster you respond, the better. Always be polite. Get right on there and tell them how much you want to help them. And another reason why you really want to do this is Facebook has actually started saying on your pages, it says how quickly people tend to respond. And so I know when I write to somebody, it says they tend to respond within a day, they tend to respond within an hour, or they tend to respond within 10 minutes. You know, so this is something that we're going to start seeing from other websites, and people are going to start judging who they want to deal with off of that, because a lot of the time the need is immediate. But more often, the want is immediate. And, of course, this adds to your growth. And a good way to do this is to set up notifications. You know, watch your emails. Make sure that your notifications are set up so that when you're contacted, you get an email. And then, finally, contact yourself. Contact yourself through these different things, and you'll see those notifications come in, you'll know everything's working, and you'll know that you're ready to respond faster. You're listening to Being Found. Come on back. You got 3 more.
purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
I'm Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce, the host of the Conscious Living Show, every Saturday, 11 to noon, here on KCNR 1460. You'll laugh, cry, and perhaps be shocked by my frank and honest conversations. I often team up with my husband, Dr. Mark Pierce, and no one makes me squirm or giggle quite like he can. We are the yin-yang, east-west, of most topics, yet you can always feel the love and respect between us. Visit DrNancySuttonPierce.com to keep this conversation going.
Hi, this is Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Join me at 9 a.m. every Wednesday for Generations Talk Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Topics will include resources and businesses that you need to know about. We will talk money, travel, healthcare, and more. Embrace aging. Listen to Generations Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. here on KCNR 1460. Archive shows at generationstalkradio.com.
It is tough establishing a new business in California, and even tougher if you're trying to understand the multiple laws that seem to have no other reason but to make your life harder. How do you deal with those legal hurdles while trying to build this new business or expand an existing one? By having your own qualified expert assist you. Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in business law and is well versed on the morass of legal questions facing a California business. Douglas Wright, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or DouglasWrightLaw.com.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
All right, welcome back to the Being Found Show, where we are talking about New Year's resolutions for small businesses. We have 8, 9, and 10 to hit in our top 10 countdown of what businesses could be doing. So I'm not saying do all 10. I realize you're busy people, and maybe you only have time to do one. But one, for those of you who are not good at math, one is more than none. So do one. So, number 8 on our list, don't ignore the real world. This one might not apply to some of you because some of you are only living in the real world and you need to get on the internet. But don't get so caught up in the fact that you need to get on the internet that you ignore the real world. You know, the world has changed, but not that much. People have not changed that much. So a lot of the things that used to apply really still do apply. You know, you need those physical things. Maybe if you're a service business, door hangers, you know, a physical mailing list. I got to throw out there for the physical mailing list. If you're a service industry, you might not agree with what I'm about to say because you know everybody's address because you're showing up there. But for most industries, if somebody gives you their physical address, they gave you the keys to the castle. They basically gave you their most sensitive information as a as a person. They gave you their physical address and gave you permission to reach out to them at their physical address through mail. So don't abuse that. You know, if they have given you this, send them good stuff, you know. Create a lottery of people who have sent it to you. And when you order T-shirts for your employees, pick one out and send it on out to that person. You know, all of this connects to your social media and stuff like that. You can share these things that you do. But if people are nice enough to give you the keys to their castle and their physical address, you be nice to them. You send them something nice. Other things in the real world is radio. You just so happen to be listening to radio here. And radio marketing is a great way to get your branding out there. Not necessarily a great way for conversion. And so that has led a lot of people to go like, well, I don't know about this. No, it is a great way to get it out there. You just have to have a website in conjunction because people aren't writing down the phone numbers any longer. They're remembering the name. They're remembering the service from the radio and television ads, and then they're searching it online. And so radio and television is not necessarily getting the credit that it deserves, but it deserves that credit because how many people do you know who never listen to the radio or watch TV? So this all comes back to what this show is really about. It's the being found show. So don't ignore the real world. When we're talking about being found, we're not talking about the internet. We're talking about being found. So make sure that you're available in the ways that people expect to find you. And I realize you can't do it all at once, but you can pick your battles and then start creeping through. But never put anything on the side burner and say that I'm never going to get to that, because you do need to get to it eventually. Hopefully when success has come from your other choices. Number nine, not a very exciting one, is auto billing. You know, the amount of time that I spend chasing down payments for my clients is obscene. It's like a whole job in itself. Anybody who owns a business knows that you have somebody that you pay so that you can get paid. The idea that you have to pay somebody to make sure that you get paid is ridiculous, but it's true. So auto billing can relieve some of that. I'm not saying you get rid of that person that's helping you. You know, that person will be able to help in other ways, help with new and help with growth. But anything that you can do to make that billing happen in its own right, you know, so recurring payments, of course, is a great way to do it, but not all industries lead towards recurring payments. Personally, I use a website. It's free, called Invoicely. And I take care of all my invoices there. It tells me how much money I made throughout the year, which is really nice. It's all in one place. It's all very obvious. Things are red if they haven't paid yet. Things are green if they have. I can filter time frames, and I can say how much did I make in the last 2 weeks, how much did I make in the last 10 years. And it's also quite effective. My I share a bedroom with my tax accountant, my beautiful wife, Terry, and she finds it very helpful for doing taxes, having all that in one place, and she can really sort of see where we're at for money and take care of that. Number 10, because this show has been so exciting. I know you're like sitting on the edge of your seat, and you're, oh my gosh, what could number 10 possibly be? How could it get any more exciting than auto billing? That's what you have to say? He shows me numbers about how much until the end of the show. Auto billing doesn't excite Jared. All right. Valuable upsells. People are constantly trying to do upsells. Number 10, New Year's resolution for the small and medium-sized business is a valuable upsell. And I have to accentuate valuable. Valuable to you and valuable to your customers. A lot of people are trying to upsell because they want more money. And I get that. We all want more money. But, you know, you have to provide a service for that more money. I use this example a lot. But carpet cleaners, they'll sell a treatment, you know, that helps. Once they've cleaned the carpet, it'll keep the stains off. That's a valuable upsell. It helps the carpet cleaner. They make money from selling that treatment. But it also helps the client because it keeps their carpets nicer. you start to have a relationship with your clients. You know, you can sell regular maintenance. Might be a really nice thing. It also will go back into auto billing, you know, reoccurring payments and stuff like that. So make sure that your valuable upsells. You know, the internet has created this world of transparency for businesses. And a lot of small businesses think that they get out of that. You know, they think that they aren't subject to public opinion. But it's becoming more and more so. So you be transparent. You provide value to your customers, and they're going to appreciate that. You know, when I was a young tyke, I worked at movie theaters, and we had this upsell technique. So, you know, you go to the movie theater and you pay like a ton of money for popcorn, right? And so we had the eclipse or the envelop technique. So you had your popcorn bucket, and you say, hey, I want a medium popcorn for $6. And then I'm just all, you know, for $6.50, you could get the large. And so when I do that, I was instructed to either take the large bucket and put it in front of the medium bucket so that it could see how big it is, or to even take the medium bucket and put it inside the large bucket to show them how much they could get for 50 cents. So number 10 on our list is valuable upsells. So that was take a break, but don't take too many. Learn your analytics. Reward your employees. Retain your customers. Get involved in your social media just a little bit. Collect emails until you got something, and then do something with it. Just collect them. Respond faster. The faster you respond, the more you got it from the other guy. As Joe likes to say, if you're not getting them, who is? If you're not responding, who is? Don't ignore the real world. There's still plenty of marketing opportunities out there. Auto billing, very exciting. And number 10 was valuable upsells. You've been listening to The Being Found Show with our 10 resolutions for small and medium-sized business. Check us out at beingfound.com and have a nice new year.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.
this hour from townhall.com. I'm Val Dior. Authorities say the gunman in the California Veterans Center shootings was a patient who had been kicked out of a post-traumatic stress disorder program.
Investigators have identified the suspect as 36-year-old Albert Wong, who served a year in Afghanistan. A day-long siege at the Veterans Home of California, Yountville, ended last night with the discovery of Wong's body, along with the bodies of three women who worked at the Pathway Home PTSD program. The executive director, the clinical director, and a psychologist. Wong slipped into a going-away party for some employees of the Pathway Home. He took some people hostage and then traded gunshots with a deputy early on. Nothing more was heard until the bodies were discovered. I'm Mike Hempen.
Vladimir Putin says he does not care about alleged Russian interference in the U.S. presidential election because the actions were not connected to his government. In an interview with NBC News, Putin also suggested that some of the 13 Russian nationals indicted by the U.S. may not be ethnically Russian, but Ukrainians, Tatars, or Jews. Chinese leaders have set this year's official economic growth target at around 6.5%.
The forecast is down slightly from 2017, but it would still be among the world's strongest if achieved. The growth target reflects Beijing's promises to pursue more sustainable growth based on domestic consumption instead of exports and investment. However, it still is high enough that private sector analysts have questioned whether it can be achieved without setting back reform efforts by pumping up bank lending and government stimulus spending.
Jeremy House reporting the risk of severe thunderstorms increasing in parts of the southeast with strong storms and hail possible this evening and some widespread light rain for the drought-stricken southwest. Forecasters say that light rain should help with the drought without the danger of mudslides. And don't forget to spring forward 1 hour tonight before you go to bed. More on these stories, townhall.com.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For a free quote, call 800-523-3771. That's 800-523-3771. 800-523-3771. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
A mining industry group wants the Supreme Court to review an Obama-era ban on new mining claims around the Grand Canyon.
A petition by the American Exploration and Mining Association comes as President Trump's administration reviews a portion of the ban. The Interior Department implemented the ban in 2012 amid concern about possible water contamination. A federal law gives the Interior Secretary authority to withdraw land from mining claims for up to 20 years without congressional approval. A provision allowing a legislative veto has been deemed unconstitutional. The industry group says the provision can't be separated from the law, so the entire law should be invalidated. Lower courts have disagreed and upheld the ban on new mining claims. Keith Peters reporting.
An Israeli government decision will decide the fate of hundreds of Ethiopian families who hope to be reunited. Ethiopians in Israel say the bitter public feud to see their relatives again has exacerbated a feeling that the state discriminates against its Ethiopian minority. This is Town Hall News. The White House says President Trump and the President of China have discussed North Korea after Mr. Trump agreed to meet North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. Bob McGinnis says he's cautious, though, that North Korean leaders are determined to remain in power and use all means possible.
These North Koreans are, if anything, resilient in terms of being able to be circumspect about where their intentions are going and how to manipulate the West especially.
Bob McGinnis is a retired U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel and Military Affairs Analyst for the Salem Radio Network. Actress Lisa Bonet has finally broken her silence about her former TV father, Bill Cosby, saying she isn't surprised about the misconduct allegations. She tells Porter Magazine she wasn't aware of any appropriate, inappropriate behavior on the set, but she always sensed, quote, a darkness, a sinister shadow energy cannot be concealed, says Bonet. This is Town Hall News.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland. I'm your host, Chauncey Haworth, and this is my other host, Sean, the host of my hosting.
Hello.
How's it going, Sean?
Good. I finally got around to watching that It remake.
Oh, yeah? What'd you think of it?
I thought it was quite good. I don't know that it scared me very much. I think I would have been more scared, you know, maybe if I'd seen it in the theater or something.
Most of Stephen King's movies that are somewhat true to the source material are not actually that scary,
sure,
in my opinion. They're a little more fantasy, adventure-y, and stuff like that.
Right, and I mean, essentially, it's like a coming-of-age story.
Right.
And the monster just happens to be, you know, the antagonist happens to be really, really freaky. But it's interesting, though, because I think, in general, Stephen King's books are terrifying.
Right.
Like,
right.
I mean,
they just don't convey well to
exactly.
Visuals,
yeah. I mean, The Shining is a really scary movie,
but nothing like the
book. The Shining, the book, is very different and also much scarier, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
The same thing with It.
Yeah, the Stanley Kubrick movie is nothing like
right.
the book.
No, it's not. Though I do think, you know, it's probably about as scary as you could have gotten while translating that to film.
Yeah, yeah. The cool thing about The Shining to me is that it carried a feeling of dread in the movie without actually having any starts. You
yes.
know, there was really no point where you were going to jump out of your seat,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
Maybe when it came around the turn to the twins, that was a little...
Yeah, there were a couple... Well, actually, I think it's just that one. And you did have the classic, like, scare chord, right, when you see them.
Right, yeah.
But, I mean, even that, it's not like they pop out of anywhere. It's like the camera's turning a corner, and there they are. So, yeah, I agree. It very effectively builds suspense throughout that entire thing.
Well, normally we are a paranormal show.
Uh-huh.
But really what we are is the... Chaunce and Sean show about whatever weird stuff we can get our hands on, which tends to be
sure.
paranormal because we like that. But tonight, why are we talking about horror movies? Because we are having a low-budget horror auteur on our show.
And because we always talk about horror movies.
Yes, I'm a very lonely man. I'm a lonely man. I have been an insane horror movie fan ever since I was very little. I'll try to dabble my way around how I got involved in horror movies. I hated going to school.
Sure.
And about fourth grade on, I would stay home sick several days a week because I was faking it.
Sure.
Because I just hated it. And I would walk up to the video store, and this was before they stopped you from renting R-rated movies. So I would rent just whatever R-rated. And so it didn't take long for, fourth grade, we're looking at 10-year-old Chauncey?
Mm-hmm.
It didn't take long for 10-year-old Chauncey to figure out that in horror films, the young boy that I was, that it was not uncommon that I would see things that young boys didn't normally get to see.
Okay. I have no idea what you mean.
Nudity.
I was being sarcastic.
All right. You know, and so I think, you know, my initial love stemmed from that, but it didn't take long for me to flip-flop around, and really by the time I was 18, I was watching silent films. I'd seen all the Universal Monster movies, you know, Hammer's films from the 70s. I just became a, you know... I would just go to new video stores and just clear out their horror movie sections and
watch
them all.
I've often wondered, do you get, like, desensitized? Like, what's the last horror movie that really scared you?
A lot of it has to do with how you feel in the moment.
Sure.
And the situation that you're in. But no, I don't get desensitized. I get desensitized in the movie sense.
To, like, the cinematic tropes and stuff.
Yeah, where I kind of know what's coming, and I'm a little disappointed that I just got told the same old story or something like that. Uh-huh. But really, if you're a fan of stories and movies, you really realize that just about every movie here in Western culture is either based off of the Bible or Shakespeare.
Sure.
You know, it's all kind of the same stories. But as far as desensitized, so this is why I'm a lonely man when it comes to being a horror fan, is... I haven't met a lot of other horror fans like me. They either just don't like them as much as I do,
mm-hmm.
or they like them way too much.
Right, and it's disturbing.
Yeah. I have no interest in lurking and having people think I'm mysterious. I am not mysterious. To me, a horror film is not something that I hope to live. A horror film is like riding a roller coaster.
Right.
You know? Ever since I was little, I drew pictures, I drew comic books, I played in bands, wrote songs. My imagination is important to me, and it's easily inspired, and anything fantastic that goes outside of the realm of reality can get my imagination going, and it's like riding a roller coaster, and then when I get off at the end, I go, oh, that was totally cool, I totally believed for an hour and a half that I was going to get possessed by the spirit of a 12-year-old girl or something. An evil one.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Not just any old 12-year-old girl, you know.
Right.
Little Cindy from the daycare.
Right, yeah. I'm just thinking about what my daughter was into when she was 12, and, like, it would basically be a lot of just terrible, terrible anime. But, so horror movies are very important to me. I'm very excited about meeting our guest tonight, Drew Maverick. He made a movie called Pool Party Massacre, and it sounds like he might be a kindred spirit.
Yeah.
You know, he might
or
be my new
likes
best friend.
Them way too much, and this is going to be uncomfortable.
Yeah, do you think he's going to get on there and be all, good evening? I don't think so.
Though that would be funny.
Because he does what I want to do. I don't want to make Hollywood blockbusters. I want to make low-budget horror films.
With a soul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, things that maybe you have to... You know, exercise your suspension of disbelief a little bit to get around some of the effects and to get around the situation because
sure
you're into it. Now, I haven't seen his movie. I'm not trying to put it down. Frankly, his movie's locked up pretty tight. I wasn't able to get a copy, and I went and tried to download it, and I spent like 2 hours today getting a virus off my computer because I went to a shady site to try to get it. So he'll be happy to know that his movie's like... Pretty well locked down.
Yeah.
I did watch the preview. Looks good. I did read the whatever it is that they call the treatment, summary of it. And so I'm pretty gosh darn excited. So we're going to go to commercial break. And when we come back, we got Drew Maverick, horror movie auteur and maker of Pool Party Massacre.
We'll be right back. When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
I am Dan, owner of Dan's Optical Lab. For years, I've made prescription eyewear for other eye doctors throughout the North State. Now I'm opening my lab directly to the public. You can purchase the highest quality in prescription eyewear, but directly from the lab. That means you get it faster and you get it for less. I don't just sell prescription eyewear, I make it. And because I do, I have to know more about the lens materials, designs, and frames that are available. If you want the highest quality in prescription eyewear, then go where the doctors go, Dan's Optical Lab, faster for less.
Cold weather is quickly approaching Northern California. Give SST Oil a call today to hear their competitive prices for home heating fuel. Veterans are offered a 5% discount on heater sales and services and a 5% discount on home heating fuels. That's SST Oil. Give them a call at 241-1167. That's 241-1167. SST Oil. SST Oil supports our veteran community.
The Ten Tenors are coming to the Reading Civic Auditorium March 16th with their acclaimed show, Wish You Were Here, a celebration of legends featuring the music of David Bowie, Prince, Amy Winehouse, John Lennon, Michael Jackson, Freddie Mercury, Whitney Houston, and more. Fresh off their 20th anniversary world tour, the Ten Tenors return with their show, Wish You Were Here. With over 700 sold-out shows, six albums that have gone platinum and gold, it's the Ten Tenors. Don't miss your opportunity to experience this international singing sensation live at the Reading Civic Auditorium. Get your tickets for this soon-to-be-sold-out show, the Ten Tenors, March 16th. Go to readingcivic.com for your tickets today. Tickets are also available at the Civic box office or by calling 229-0022. A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland, and our guest, Drew Maverick. Drew, we got you there.
Yes, I'm here.
I am so excited to have you on. I think our scheduler, slash a whole lot of other things, Andrea, told you that I am a huge fan of horror films.
She did, and hopefully it's true.
Oh, it's true.
Oh, my God.
It's hard to get me not to talk about them and to talk about the topics I'm supposed to have.
I can confirm this.
Yeah. In fact, our final segment tends to be like when we have UFOs or Bigfoots or all sorts of other topics on. One of our final segments tends to be me just making pop culture references to the topic that we had, mainly through horror films.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I live my life.
All right. Well, I was hoping to find a kindred spirit in my love of horror films, because in the last break, I was telling Sean that a lot of the time I have a hard time finding friends who are into horror movies because they either don't like them in the same way or as much as I do, or they just like them a little too much. And they like want it to be their lives, where I like it as like a roller coaster. And, you know, I don't want to be mysterious or creepy. I just want to watch it, you know.
Sure, yeah, there's always a line that you don't want to cross.
Right. So how'd you get started doing this? And I'm going to be taking notes because I want to do it too.
Well, I don't know if I'm the right person to tell anyone how to do anything. I'm just making it up as I go along. But I do know how it worked out for me. And so far, so good. I mean, I've been in the production business for a long time. I think it's about 15 years now that I've worked in film video production. But that's, I started my career and we're still continue my career producing commercials. So that's where I didn't start producing them. I started being a PA on them and like getting complicated Starbucks orders and like running errands and photocopying things. But I started in commercials and now I still do that. I produce television commercials to pay the bills. And when I have any money left over after I pay my bills, I try to make something horror related with it.
And, you know, so why horror?
I've been a fan of horror since as long as I can remember. Not necessarily an obsessed fan, but a fan. My mom was a fan, so I could probably trace it back to her. I mean, she showed me movies like Psycho and The Exorcist and things, movies that she loved that were a little before my time. So, and she had no filter. I mean, she was a great parent. And did police many other things, but for some reason, ratings on movies, she was oblivious to. So I could watch anything. I was that friend to my friends in my little neighborhood in Southern California who had, we had a wall of VHS tapes. My mom would go every week and rent a bunch of VHS tapes, and then she would come home and spend 2 days dubbing them all onto tapes. So that we could watch, so that we wouldn't have to, because you rented them for a night or two nights, so she would want to, you know, get 10 movies,
right.
Just pay for one night each, and then we could watch them at our leisure. She didn't sell them at the swap meet or anything, but she would just for us to view, and then they would go on this gigantic wall. So we had this huge wall full of tapes. Each tape had, you know, 2 to 4 movies on them.
Right.
And so I had access to that. And they were all, I think in her head she had some, she would try to tie the movies together in some way. Some were obvious if they were sequels, but then sometimes it would just be cast members or maybe it would be just the letter they start with.
Right.
I mean, there were some of them had zero rhyme or reason at all. So I might be watching, you know, Police Academy and I might go into Poltergeist.
Right.
Just because they both started with a P. And I probably shouldn't have been watching either of those movies, but...
Well, my kids are definitely have always been those friends as well because, you know, as a parent, you got to judge your kids and how they handle things. And, you know, my kids never really had a problem with those things. And so they were able to move further and further along without really having a problem with them. But if they did or didn't, you know, I might have shut that down. So,
sure, it's definitely I mean, people ask me that all the time because my son's 11 now, and he comes to conventions with me. He actually works the Pool Party Massacre booth with me, there's times when I need to step away to do an interview or just to go spend money, and I know I can leave him, and he works the booth, and he's actually probably a better salesman than I am. So
more
people
approachable.
Will often refer to me, like, when is it okay for my child to watch Texas Chainsaw? And my answer is always, that's up to you. You know, it's a case by case basis. My son's not ready for Texas Chainsaw yet, but I took him to see the new It. I mean, it's just all, you know, it's all relative. You have to know your kid, and it's for your sake too. Because if you show them that too early, then it's going to ruin the next 3 to 6 months of your life.
Yeah, I have to admit that the one movie that my daughter Harley really wanted to see that I made her wait a little while to see was Revenge of the Sith, because I wasn't really sure how to explain to her that her favorite character, who was a good guy, is now a bad guy now.
Yeah,
you know, and so it had nothing to do with gore or nudity or any of those things. It solely had to do with the good guy being a bad guy now, and I wasn't sure I was ready to have that conversation. You know.
Oh, that's fine. And your kids are adults now, right?
My youngest just turned 17.
Okay, because I thought I was listening to some of the previous episodes, and I thought I heard you say that.
Yeah, my oldest is 23, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm still, my daughter's 7 and my son's 11, so I'm still in the learning.
The be careful phase.
Yes, sure.
You're in the phase where what you do matters. In my phase right now, what I do does not matter to my children whatsoever. They're going to do what they do at this point.
Yeah, I could see. I think my 11-year-old might already be there.
Yeah. Yeah. My theory has always been that you raise him as well as he can until about 13, and then you just kind of hope and hold on and hope for the best and be there if they prompt any conversations. But really, you're kind of done at that point.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, even what we were talking about with the movies, I mean, I had this glorious wall of VHS, which he, well, I guess he kind of has. I have a glorious wall of DVDs and Blu-rays, but he's oblivious to it because he has Netflix and probably and every other Netflix and Hulu and everything else, Shudder, I mean, all on our TV. So if I'm not paying attention, or I'm sure on his iPad too. So, I mean, he's the movies that I tell him he's not ready for, I'm sure he instantly goes and watches them.
Right.
when he says he's doing his homework, I have a funny feeling he's in his room watching him on his iPad, because I'll catch him at conventions knowing too much.
Right.
Like someone will walk by, like when we were at Sinister Creature Con, Jennifer Rubens from Nightmare on Elm Street Dream Master walked by and he went, "Oh my God. Oh, she's I'm beautiful and I'm bad girl." And I'm like, "Wait, what? How do you know that?" And he's like, "I saw a clip on YouTube." I'm like, "Yeah, we need to talk."
Yeah, something about tendon marionettes. I don't know.
Yeah, and he knew the puppet, and he's like, "Where's the guy that's the puppet?"
Right.
I'm like, "Oh, he won't be here."
Well, before we come up on the commercial break, maybe you can give us a brief rundown on what Pool Party Massacre is about.
Sure. So, I mean, to put it simply, it is it's my love letter to 80s slasher films. So it's a story of a group of high-maintenance, socialite, Paris Hilton-type girls that are having an intimate pool party at one of their parents' houses, and unbeknownst to them, there's a killer inside picking them off one by one. Whenever anyone enters the house to make a drink, have sex, that's pretty much the only reasons people in movies go inside the house from a pool party, then they get killed.
Yeah, that's the MO of these 80s films, is those who sin die and those who don't.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. I mean, I wanted to kind of play off of that, but not hit it too hard.
Yeah, you gotta mix it up a little bit so that people don't know what's coming every time. Yeah,
and I kind of intentionally made all of the characters unlikable so that you wouldn't necessarily know. But also I ultimately wanted in the end people to side with the killer. That was my goal, at least. I don't know if that necessarily worked or if it worked because of what I did, but that was definitely my intention.
Well, I think we definitely live in a day and age where it's easier for audiences to side with a killer. You know, I think back in the 80s, you know, everybody imagine themselves in those situations, but nowadays,
Hannibal, Dexter, etc.
You know, right? You know, well, yeah. Back then the only you know tortured villain was maybe Frankenstein. You know, was basically a tortured villain who was not really a villain. You know, but since then there's been a big sway in that, and so I see it with my kids. You know, they identify with the bad guys. They're playing Star Wars video game, and I'm like, "What are you, the Sith?" They're like, "Oh yeah, I'm the Sith."
Yeah, exactly. Everyone's dying to be Jason on the Friday the 13th video game.
Right, right. Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, we are coming up on our commercial break. Everybody stick around. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with our guest, Drew Maverick, talking about his film, Pool Party Massacre. Come on back.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. I have a word for men, women, boys, and girls, and it's very simple. God created you just the way you are, a male or a female. Feeling like you are the opposite sex or having an irreversible surgery will not change that fact. Don't allow the anti-God sexual revolution to destroy the awesome person God created you to be. And parents, don't let this insanity destroy you and your children. Protect them by your family having an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at trueliferedding.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we offer up the latest tech news you can use. Hi, it's Bob Belongi. It's even easier to listen to the show now that we're on iTunes. You'll find our archives and articles at BoomerTechRadio.com, and the show is streamed live at KCNR1460.com. We review the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, and make sure you are up to date on the latest tech trend. Boomer Tech Radio, Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. on KCNR 1460, and now available as a podcast on iTunes.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
I'm Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce, the host of the Conscious Living Show, every Saturday, 11 to noon, here on KCNR 1460. You'll laugh, cry, and perhaps be shocked by my frank and honest conversations. I often team up with my husband, Dr. Mark Pierce, and no one makes me squirm or giggle quite like he can. We are the yin-yang, east-west, of most topics, yet you can always feel the love and respect between us. Visit DrNancySuttonPierce.com to keep this conversation going.
Black Bear Diner was started by a couple of hungry guys with a big dream. That dream? Good old-fashioned family food with great service. Like the classic Volcano Breakfast. Secret recipes, sweet cream pancakes, hickory-smoked bacon, sausage, and fresh cracked eggs. Mmm. Served day or night at over 100 Black Bear Diner locations. Feeding all you hungry bears out there makes us so proud.
Here's your breakfast for dinner. No more coffee?
Thanks, Rosie. I'm sorry. Pancakes at sunset make me a little emotional.
Joe's Web Geeks are the geeks your business has been looking for. Now businesses in Shasta County have a resource to make online advertising easy. With our Jumpstart service, you can get a website with pages built to be found in search, a Facebook page, listings in over 25 directories, and a lot more for $8.99. Let Joe's Web Geeks help you so that you can get back to doing what you do best. Visit joeswebgeeks.com or call 515-9851.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland, and our guest, Drew Maverick. We're talking about his film, Pool Party Massacre, as well as horror films in general. And we left off talking about Pool Party Massacre being a love letter to 80s slasher films. So, you know, what's your... I realize this is a loaded question, so, you know, you can be vague. But what's your favorite 80s slasher film? And you can go back to the 70s, too.
Yeah, it's such a tough question, and I do get asked it a lot, and I feel like my answer probably changes every single time because I'm really just picking at of my favorite ones, and then and which ones I watch the most, which aren't necessarily my favorite. They're just the ones that I happen to watch the most. Like Friday 4, I probably have watched that more than any other entry.
Friday the 13th, Part 4?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
The ambulance one. That's the one you watch the most. That's funny. Yeah. I've seen it a ton of times. That's awesome. Just,
and then, of course, Slumber Party Massacre was, I watched that a ton when I was a kid. Happy Birthday to Me was in big rotation. Yeah. And then Sleepaway Camp 2 and 3.
Oh, yeah.
Were also in heavy. I mean, I love the original Sleepaway Camp, and nothing will can compete with the shock of their first time watching that. But.
Right, the first one.
And my sense of humor.
Yeah, the first one definitely was trying to be very serious, but the second two definitely brought in some lightheartedness to it.
Yeah, and that's where my tastes go. Like, I watch Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 over Part 1 all the time.
Yeah, I think I do too. You know,
clearly Part 1's a better movie.
Well, the second half is. The first half of Part 1 is like the worst movie ever made. And then, like, all of a sudden, it becomes like this serious, like, reality film, and you don't really understand what just flipped, because the first is just terrible acting, and the sound quality sucks, and, like, but by the second half of the film, it's like you're watching it for real.
Yeah, it definitely feels that way. And then, you know, and unlike Part 2, which don't necessarily feel that way, but it hits my buttons. It's absurd. I mean, there's a chainsaw fight, for God's sakes.
Yeah, absolutely. And the guy with the metal plate in his head that he's like scratching.
Yeah, chop top.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, absolutely. I was thinking during the break about movies that paid tribute to 80s films, 80s horror movies, and you know, of course, the biggest one that comes to mind is probably Scream. You know, is the one that set out to obviously pay homage to these things. But a real recent one, I don't know if you've seen it, but House of the Devil I recently just watched, and that was like a great, like, total, even down to the film quality, I kind of felt like I was watching a movie from the 80s.
Yeah, House of the Devil is great. I mean, Ty West is amazing. And, yeah, that's a great movie. The feel of that is great. And there's a bunch. I mean, now there's a sea of, like, lower budget 80s. Oh my, like the, I don't know if you've seen The Barn.
No, I haven't. I'll have to get a list from you.
Yeah, The Barn's another one. It came out right around the same time as us. Great. It's actually a period piece, so, I mean, it's set in the 80s. But they did a really great job of kind of capturing that, especially knowing what their budget was.
Yeah, when I watch movies that are period pieces, like even down to being set in the 80s, you know, as a guy who produces films, this just crosses my mind, but I'm sure this comes up for you. Wouldn't that be incredibly expensive to make sure that everything and every shot was conveyed the 80s? You couldn't have the wrong car drive through or anything like that. It would sort of narrow in your shots you were able to do.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to do it right and there's any kind of scale to it, then it has to be expensive and time-consuming. I mean, the way that I made, like with Pool Party Massacre, we had a $6,000 shooting budget and a crew of, on average, of about 5 people. So there was no way. I mean, it crossed my mind when I was writing the script of whether I should set it in the around the time of some of the Party Massacre, and instantly I knew it would just tie my hands too much. And I also, my goal when I was writing was I was making the movie that my 15-year-old self would make if he could get in a time machine and jump to present day and write a script. I feel like that's what Pool Party Massacre was. For good or for bad, it is what my 15-year-old Drew would have come up with. So that was kind of how I checked myself at times.
So would you say that, like, your genre of choice is the slasher film?
I feel like my genre of choice would just be horror comedy, if I can just have that be abroad.
I see.
If I had to, I mean, because movies like Evil Dead 2 and Return of the Living Dead are also...
Yeah, absolutely. Dead Alive.
Wouldn't fall into Dead Alive, exactly.
Yeah, my favorite from the 80s is probably Night of the Demons. Or actually, yeah, I think that might be 1990. But yeah, it's just ridiculous. You know,
even if it's 1990, it's still so 80s that it's 80s.
Right, right. When you look at their haircuts and their outfits and you say, this has to be 85. And then you look at the year, you're like, I don't even see how they did that. But yeah.
Yeah.
So do you have another one in the works?
I do. I mean, I have a couple projects in the works. I'm currently still writing a sequel to Pool Party. So that'll happen hopefully soon. I really wanted to be in production by May, which now that it's March, it might not happen. But it might. it still might. I'm almost done with the script. So,
well, we'll cover this again at the end of the show. But why don't you tell our listeners at this point where they can get their hands on the film and check it out?
Sure, of course. Yeah, if anybody wants to watch Pool Party Massacre.
Way to sell it.
Yeah, way to sell it, man. Way to sell it. You're all sure if anybody wants to watch it.
This is why my son's a better salesman at the booth, because people will come up and be like, is this any good? And then my answer is always, no, it's horrible, but you should buy it anyway.
Yeah, good is relative, man. Yeah, good is relative.
But yeah, if anyone does want to watch it for some reason, poolpartymassacre.com, you can get the Blu-ray and the DVD there. We have limited edition VHS that sell out really fast, but we have another edition coming up. And then it's also on iTunes and Amazon.
So yeah.
You can find it there digitally.
I'm going to have to get it off of Amazon. I was telling Sean earlier that by the time this came across my desk, I didn't have time to order it and watch it. So, you know, I tried to find it online, and I ended up, you know, somebody duped me in, and I ended up getting having to spend 2 hours cleaning a virus off my computer this afternoon.
That sucks.
So I was telling Sean that Drew would be pretty happy that his movie's pretty well locked down. Nobody's going to be able to steal it.
Oh, that's good. I feel like I don't even explore that. A lot of other indie filmmakers that are friends of mine sometimes will obsess and spend hours tracking down and finding out how many copies have been posted and how many downloads. I've never gone down that route.
So do you have a circle of indie horror movie filmmaker friends?
Yeah, I would say that I do. I mean, just...
Can I come to your parties if I go to Vegas?
Yeah, well, I mean, I have a group here as well in Vegas. I'm actually producing a horror anthology right now where I've roped in 11 other indie filmmakers that are all in Vegas, and there's 12 of us, and each contributing a short to this Christmas horror anthology that I dreamed up and am producing. So I have a great network here in town, but then also around the whole country, just from traveling to festivals and conventions. When you play a fest, when your film plays a festival with another indie horror filmmaker, if you're both there, you end up, you know, spending the day together watching movies and then hanging out.
Right.
So you get to know each other. So yeah, I've built up a pretty cool network of talented people.
I have like 2 weeks of serious jealousy going on here. Our guest last week was, I referred to them as the Paranormal Partridge Family. It was a woman and her family that basically had a motorhome and would drive around the country and visit and make little documentaries about paranormal sites like ghosts and UFOs and Bigfoot sightings and everything. And then here you're making low budget horror films, and I purposefully include low budget because that's part of my dream. You know, when I was, I don't know, I was like 15, and I read a book called Feature Length Filmmaking at Used Car Prices, and it was really my inspiration. And then, of course, I read Lloyd Kaufman's biography, and I'm just all, you know,
sure,
I can do this. Obviously, I can't. You know, here I am working a day job, but all right, we're coming up on another commercial break. You're listening to Drew Maverick talking about his movie Pool Party Massacre. You're listening to Radio Wasteland. Come on back.
Don't need no frozen yogurt. Don't want no tissue. Just want a chance to grow up in the same town where I met you. Is there a phantom in the mall? Folks are bound to ask. Is she the phantom of the mall? Or just some rich side in a broken hockey mask?
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name, knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Reading or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank. We invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You'll never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Hello, I am Lance Beck, president of North State Security. Were you aware that North State Security has patrolled the streets of Reading for nearly 18,500 consecutive nights? The Pony Express has nothing on us. Through rain, sleet, snow, and blistering heat, North State Security has been the most prodigious private security agency in Northern California for 50 years. We are incredibly ecstatic, yet extraordinarily humbled by the realization of our 50th anniversary. With courage, determination, and a bountiful of integrity, my father founded this business with nothing more than an immense desire to succeed. North State Security, 50 years later, a formidable force in this region with approximately 130 licensed and properly trained security officers here to handle any conceivable security-related need you have. Thank you to the entire North State community for making our remarkable history such a good story. North State Security, providing jobs, protecting assets. Call us at 243-0295.
Astronaut Bob the Drop here. There's been a lot of talk about water found on Mars. Why would you go all the way to Mars for water when we have the best tasting water at Mount Shasta? It comes from our protected springs and is delivered right to your door.
Great planning, Bob.
Hey, where are you going with that? Those Martians are stealing my water. Guess we have some new customers. And anyone can get Mount Shasta spring water if they call us at 1-800-922-6227.
Your hand simple. Naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest Drew Maverick, and we're talking about his newest film, Pool Party Massacre, as well as horror movies in general. And before the break, we touched down a little bit on a project you were working on about Christmas shorts, a horror anthology of Christmas shorts. For what I need to throw in, that Christmas is my second favorite holiday, of course, after Halloween, because there is so much potential creepiness going on with Christmas and the history of Christmas and the time of year it is. But I'm really curious, on a producer level, you know, producer kind of implies somewhere between the guy who supplies the money and being a project manager. You know, how do you wrangle these, I believe you said 12 people? Is this something that you just put in their hands and say, hey, bring me something good and I'm going to produce the distribution of it? Or is this something that you put out, or is it on a case-by-case basis? You know, how does that work?
It's kind of a mixture of that. So it's a concept that I created. So there is kind of a through line or a running theme. And then I reached out to all the filmmakers, and I am producing it in the sense that I am managing it all, and I am managing the guidelines or certain guidelines as far as duration, certain parts of the content. It has to be, you know, obvious it has to hit Christmas. You know, someone can't decide to not make it Christmas.
Right.
And then there are a couple other elements that are part of the story that people need to hit. But then beyond that, I'm giving them complete creative freedom, and I may not even be on set for some of them. I'm hoping to be, since it's all local, and these are all filmmakers that I'm friends with and are part of my, you know, our circle here in Vegas, but I might not get to be. So in that sense, they will just be delivering a 5 to 8 minute short to me to assemble, and then I'm also producing the wraparound and the title cards for each one as well. But look, I reached out to people that I knew, that I know personally, so they know me and they know my intentions and they know the potential for it just through that, but also people that I knew that could deliver it. There's people that I know, even if they didn't have a penny, could still create something of high quality in this amount of time.
Right.
So people that can either have access to or can shoot and edit and know what they're doing.
Yeah, well, we definitely live in this world where a lot of people have the aspirations and even just silently have the dreams of fame and movies. And it's just like anything else in life, you know, I've wanted to make movies, you know, obviously I'm a horror movie fan and, you know, I've over the years written a script here, written a script there, tried to get it together. It didn't come together because there was so much work, you know, I played in bands over the years and, you know, I probably wrote 80 songs. I probably have at best 20 recorded, 10 of which are listenable. You know, it's like, the amount of, My day job is web development and marketing, so it's like I hesitate to use the word project manager, but really so much of it is just being able to manage yourself and manage that project. So I'm really kind of impressed that you followed through with all this stuff.
It is, and Pool Party was kind of born from that. I mean, I was in the same boat, and in a way, I still am. I guess I have finished that project and seen it through, but it's still almost like a clean slate once it's gone, but it was born from that. I work with all these talented people, far more talented than me. I'm on the production side, so I'm definitely more of a project manager. I don't shoot. I don't edit. I can't light a scene. So, I mean, these are things that I need other talented people to do, and luckily I, for a day job, hire these talented people on these commercials, so I have a great network, but I watch all these super talented people that have master's degrees in film who could do anything complain that they can't get a project off the ground or they haven't written the right script yet or they just don't have the ambition. So finally, and I'd worked on a lot of these projects or started a lot of them with them, and finally I just said, you know what, I'm going to make a movie. The least talented of our group, I'm going to go make a movie. And they all kind of laughed. I said, no, just there's what if it's not good? And I said, who cares? It's not going to be good. I'll tell you right now.
Right.
But it's going to be done. And I'm going to have fun. And it's going to be an awesome experience. So that's kind of how it happened. And then I started writing Pool Party. And then we went into production with, I mean, originally my joke was that it was going to have an $11 budget. I didn't want to spend a penny more than $11. And that was going to be the gimmick. And then we hit 6,000, so obviously we went way over budget, but still a $6,000 movie is almost, you know, almost nothing. So, but yeah, it was just kind of born from that. Like so many people, it's so hard to just do it. And then your insecurities get in the way and time and your regular job, your day jobs and all these things. So finally I just decided to do it,
you know,
and not knowing if it'd be the only thing I ever did.
Right.
And that's kind of why I treated now that it's done and it's out and I'm handling all the distribution. It's for the movie. I mean, the movie's not a great movie. I'm well aware of that. It's what I wanted to make, but it's certainly not a masterpiece. But I treat it like it is in distribution because I didn't know if I'd get to make another one. So I wanted to do all the things that I dreamed of for selfish reasons. So I made an action figure for the movie. We made a VHS release. We have hats and posters and t-shirts and koozies and limited edition sticker, like all these things that I'm like, just in case I don't make another movie ever again.
Right.
This is like my Star Wars. We're going to have everything that I could possibly have.
That's awesome. You know, you're talking about the budget made me think of, I was watching some stand up of Chris Rock and he was talking about the Blair Witch Project. It wasn't stand up. It was like at the Oscars or something. And he was saying, you know, they made that movie for only $36,000.
And then he's all, you know what I want to know is where'd the other 35 go? but those are the greatest films, you know, and, you know, frankly, I don't think you're giving yourself creative credit because as a creative guy, you're saying that insecurity holds people back. It's definitely a factor with everybody I know who's creative. So my circle of creative friends tends to be musicians and band guys. And that has always definitely been a factor. And, you know, you saying that it's not the greatest film, it never will be. The next one you'll think, the next one should be better. The next one will be better. And then you'll make your fifth one and you'll look back at the first one and you'll think, maybe I should remake that because I can do it so much better now, you know. And it's like, you know, so as a creative guy, I really kind of had to learn to cut myself off. Once I've created something, just cut it off. I'm done. I can no longer edit it. This is the finished product.
Yeah, and that's certainly another issue. I mean, I had to do that with Pool Party, and so it's hard sometimes when I'm having debates with people. Like, I'll even do interviews with people that I already read the review of the movie and they didn't like it, because that's fine with me. You know, I'd love to hear their opinions, and usually I'm harder on it than they are anyways. But some of it, they'll say, well, why didn't you reshoot this? Or why didn't you, and did you not know that this was part was slow or this didn't? I'm like, no, of course I knew, but that's time and money. I want to make another movie.
Right.
I don't want to sit on this for 4 years trying to make it perfect.
Right.
I want to move on. I have a film that I actually produced and starred in, and we wrapped principal photography a year before I started shooting Pool Party. So in early 2015, like end of 2014 is when we wrapped actually. And it's still not done. The director's still tweaking it. I have a meeting with him next week. Hopefully, it's supposedly done again. It's been done 5 times in the last 3 years.
Right.
But, and so that's a great example. It's just, I just want it out there.
Yeah. Well, I just love it in general. So, unfortunately, we're coming up here on the end of the show. Can you, remind our audience about where they can find out more about you and see the film?
Of course, yeah. If you want to find out any more about me, you can find me on every social media that there is. Unfortunately, my name is not so common, so you can just find me at Drew Marvick on everything. And then Pool Party Massacre, same thing, at Pool Party Massacre. PoolPartyMassacre.com is probably the best hub for everything. Everything's available there. There's links to everything. And surprisingly, if you Google Pool Party Massacre, we come up and not some, like, horrible tragedy that happened at a pool.
Give it time. Give it time. All right, Drew. Well, yeah. We really appreciated having you on the show. You've been listening to Drew Marvick here on Radio Wasteland. Thank you very much for being on our show.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Val Dior. President Trump is reacting to the shootings that took the lives of three women who worked at a California Veterans Center.
In an early morning tweet, the president says he is, quote, deeply saddened by the shootings that killed the women working at the Pathway Home. That's a nonprofit post-traumatic stress disorder program at the Veterans Home of California, Yountville. In the tweet, President Trump says he mourns